Welcome to the Sedona Soul Sister Show, down-to-earth discussions on spiritual, metaphysical, paranormal, and healing topics. The Sedona Soul Sisters are the most trusted psychic mediums in Sedona. They have offices in Sedona, Arizona, where they see clients from all over the world. And now, today's show. Welcome to the Sedona Soul Sister Show, down-to-earth discussions on spirituality, metaphysics, paranormal, and healing topics. The Sedona Soul Sisters are the most trusted psychic mediums, healers, and galactic practitioners in Sedona, Arizona. We are Rosalyn Reynolds, who's out vacation, myself, Ivory Lanou, Carrie Ann Russell, Anya Sophia, and Michael, and Robert Markham. We have offices in Sedona, Arizona, where we see clients from all over the world. Today's topic is the power of forgiveness. If you pop into the show live, you want to ask a question, you can use the raise your hand feature, or you can, let me open up the chat room. You can ask your question in the chat room if you're shy, and we'll answer it that way. And for those of you, I know the majority of you are listening on podcast platforms, ask us a question anytime. We're getting more and more every week. You can ask them in the comment section. You can also email us. That email is in the show discussion and description. And we're happy to answer them at any time. So Terry Ann and I were just chatting before the show. Both of us know a lot about forgiveness, and it's hard to do. I mean, it sounds so simple, but it's hard to do, isn't it?
It's a process, I find. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the more you work on yourself, the easier it becomes. But in the beginning, it's not, especially, and if it's so fresh, I find that it's really difficult to step into that arena of forgiving somebody. But I do find that time sort of lessens it a little bit. And then as you work on yourself, it begins to slowly come about that you're ready to forgive. You'll know.
I have to say, I'm a big proponent of doing the forgiveness before you think you're ready to do it. And the reason I say that, even for things you think are unforgivable, I've had plenty of those in my life, horrific things people have done to me. And yet I've come to a place where as soon as somebody does something that hurts me, I'm going to do the forgiveness work. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the pain is fresh and I don't want to carry it around a long time. And sometimes people will carry it and carry it and carry it and relive that pain again and again and again and let it color their day now for far too long. So, you know, sometimes when we think we're, it's kind of like, can you ever really be ready to have a family? I mean, are you really ever ready for your first child to start that family? No, but you know, you just do it. And or you decide to go ahead and do it because there's never perfect circumstances. And I feel like it's like that with forgiveness too.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about that, because the longer that you hold on to that, right, that energy becomes energy in our body. We all talk a lot about healing, and a lot of that energy gets stuck in our body, causing disease. That's one thing. And then the other is you carry that into other relationships. Right. So whatever happened to you and the anger that you're holding, or that resentment, fear, whatever it is that you're holding on to, you carry into other relationships. And it sort of overshadows what could truly be beautiful sometimes, because you have this unforgivingness within you.
And even if it had nothing to do with a relationship, like a love relationship, it really colors your mood and your outlook on your life and the world to just carry it around. And for me, it's probably the same for you, Terry. And I know as an empath, when I'm doing readings for people, I will feel the level of pain they're carrying around in their heart chakra, which is like right behind the sternum. Mm-hmm. And I'll feel it like a dagger going into my heart and like this really ache in the heart area. And then I know how urgent or non-urgent it is for them to clear their heart chakra where they store all that pain. So you're carrying that pain around with you. I've noticed when I did this work for something truly horrendous, and I just decided to do it as quick as I could. I wasn't living in the Sedona area then, but I took off. I used my timeshare and came up for a week and stayed in a timeshare. And I've mentioned this before, but I asked for a room far away from everybody else. It was off season. And I said, I didn't tell them this, but I knew I was going to be doing this work. And when you first start doing forgiveness work and you're in a lot of pain, it is horrendous. It's gut-wrenching. You can expect that you'll be choking on the words, that you'll be crying or sobbing, and it's really hard to get through it. But that's how you know you so badly need to let go of that. Yeah. So it's sort of like if you accidentally picked up a knife and it's cutting your hand, should you keep carrying it around because you made a mistake and picked up the knife and it's cutting your hand? Or do you put it down, bandage it, you know, cleanse it, and let the healing begin? It's really the same thing. So by the end of that week, I was able to say the words and mean it. And I started feeling a lot better. I was going out and going hiking and just seeing light at the end of the tunnel and making better decisions for myself moving forward that I don't think I could have done. And I think that's part of it too, is I didn't want to mess around. I'd been through hell, and Terri, and I know what you know what this is like. I'd been through hell with a relationship and it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I didn't want to waste any more of my life dealing with the pain of that, like having it hold me back or hold me down. And I knew what I wanted to do and how I wanted to do it. And I wanted to zoom ahead. That propelled me to do that forgiveness work quickly.
Yeah, I love that analogy of carrying the knife around in the hand. That's a great analogy. And it, a lot of times people think they go to forgiveness and they think it's about excusing what the person has done to you, right? It's not about excusing their behavior. It's really about you, because again, whatever grows inside of you continues to grow. When you did that work, I bet you felt so much lighter afterwards and free. That freedom is what you're looking for, that lightness to come in. When I work with clients, I see sometimes in their heart chakra, could be like a beautiful green. And then there's some areas lower again, where you were speaking of, like tinged grayish, darker colors. So I know. And because I've had heart chakra issues, I know what to look for, how it feels specifically, right? And so you can start to approach that with them if they're open to, you know, doing the work. It is sometimes very difficult work, like you said. And I think the harder the instance, the harder it may be for you to really go into that space. But I really think it's so necessary when, you know, when you can.
Oh my gosh, yes. I'm thinking about, I'm sure people watching this are like, fantastic, but how do we do that? And I think we like to really give you some specifics, some tools to take with you every chance we can get, just like we would if you're sitting in our office in Sedona or on a virtual session with us. We want to give you tools to move forward. So I'm going to tell you specifically what I did. I began with a process I learned in counseling a long time ago, where you write down everything you want to say to that person or persons, do it individually for each person, everything you want to say. And then I took it out and had a little burning ceremony with that. A counselor friend of mine last week said she has her clients tear it up into itty bitty, tiny little bits, and that psychologically she likes that because it's breaking down what happened to you smaller and smaller and smaller, and then burn it. And I do like that addition. If I have to do this in the future, I will be adding that. You don't send it to the person. You don't show it to the person you're writing about. It's just to purge it. So you can give yourself closure, because many times, especially toxic people, will never give you the closure you need. And you need to let go of that, because you'll drive yourself crazy trying to get them to say or do something that's going to make you feel better and healed and like they truly have remorse. They're probably never going to get that. So this is a way to give it to yourself. And I started with that just because I always know I feel lighter when I do that burning ceremony. Just be careful where you do it. We live in the Southwest, and the last thing you want to do is be responsible for the next wildfire. So, you know, do it in a safe way. And then the next thing I did was start this forgiveness prayer, and I have it on my original website. It's free to anybody. You can look it up. If you go to ivoryangelicmedium.com, click on resources, and in the drop-down menu, there's the forgiveness prayers, plural, do the top one because it's real specific. You do it for each one at a time, like the people who wronged you, and then for yourself, which we'll dive into a little later in this episode. But I did that every day, twice a day, until I meant it. And some people, it's going to take a lot longer than others, but it's really powerful. It was written by Roberta Herzog, who's crossed. She was a spirituality worker, and it was brought to my attention by a friend a long time ago, and I've just used it since then. And I think it's really beautiful.
I've used it before too, I have to say. And it was very helpful after the death of my son to forgive myself for feeling guilty and for forgiving him for leaving, you know. So I have used it. It's a beautiful, beautiful, and it does work, I have to say. Me, I also like the reflecting and the burning. I use that with my clients too. I think it's so powerful. As you said, you're creating that ceremony about releasing it. And there's something about writing it. It's very cathartic when you write it out and you're freeing your body from it. I also like to use essential oils with clients because I think sometimes we don't use all of our senses. So when we start to use all of our senses, and so I know you have a grief essential oil that you offer, and mm-hmm. I've tried that too. And so just having that with the client too, they're able to get that other sense, or maybe that'll bring them a little calmness or peacefulness while they're in that situation. But there's so much that goes into it. You know, I think sometimes people are looking to either go all in and get it done, or they're not ready. So I think that when you're doing it, you have to just really be honest with yourself, because you're not sending it to anybody. As you said, you're not going to tell this person what you feel about them. You know, it's not going to change them in any way. When you accept that, you're not here to change them, fix them, whatever, you know, but you're getting it out of you and releasing that. I think that's so important.
It really is. And that cathartic point is really important, because you carry those emotions around and it's sort of seething inside of you. And I know that I've experienced a time, my last dark night of the soul, where I was so upset for so long because there was so much trauma and drama going on that all the cortisol rushing through my body was destroying my organs. And I could have died. You know, I know people who ended up with Addison's disease because they just let the stress go on and on and on. So this is a great way to let go of a lot of that stress. It's a choice. Do I want to hang on to this and hurt? And I think people kind of can get into an unconscious martyr state where they're like, if I let go of the pain, I'm letting go of what they did. No, if you let go of the pain, you're freeing yourself. You're freeing yourself. You're not going to change what happened. None of us can change the past. It is what it is. And yes, we all made mistakes. Every one of us, whatever situation we ended up in, there's something we did that led to that situation. And I'm a big believer in the freedom of that as well, that it helps to forgive yourself and just the situation when you see your part in it. And what brought that to my awareness is back in my mental health days when I volunteered to run the counseling blocks for the local domestic violence shelter in my area in Yavapai County. And I loved that particular center. She was a longtime friend who ran it. And their belief was to teach the women to take personal responsibility and to see, you know, to if you see your part in it, if you take ownership of your life, if you take responsibility of your choices, your situation, you're in the driver's seat. And all the counseling blocks and discussions were set up around that. And I watched little miracles happen in that group year after year with these women who would come in, who had children, who didn't know where they were going to go, didn't know how they were going to survive, and just see them blossom as they step out of this victim mentality into a position of power. And you can do that. You don't have to be in a domestic violence situation to do that. That was an eye-opener for me. It's not like I didn't learn it when I was in college studying, you know, psychology. It's not like I didn't know it in counseling, but that whole experience was a major lesson for me. in really seeing your part in situations. And I think it does help forgive you and help the forgiveness process to do that.
Yeah. And I'm like you, we've talked about this several times. We're empaths. So sometimes it's difficult for us to put ourselves in that position of power, right? We set a boundary, they cross it. We set a boundary, they cross it. So we have to take some responsibility in that. You know, we're not making them that cross that boundary. That's their responsibility, but we're allowing them to continue to cross that boundary. So what is that boundary for you? And what does that look like? And you have to look at your responsibility in that. And that's why we talk about so often empowerment, right? Because when you put yourself in a position of power, again, you're no longer the victim. You are saying it's not okay. You know, I'm not going to accept whatever it is anymore. And you become powerful then within yourself, right? You start to see a change in how you think and how you view the world. We've talked about that several times.
You know, it's how people talk about it. And I think it's so true that happiness is a choice. And I learned this, like there's some people I know who, because they used to have a ton of money and they didn't at that time, they were so miserable. And no matter what wonderful things were happening, they didn't have the things they used to have. And so they would be miserable. And I would try to explain this to them. But it's, if somebody is not at that point in their spiritual development, they're not going to understand. And it's the same with forgiveness. There's some people who are not at a place in their spiritual development to grasp the value and the importance of forgiveness. And so they will hang on to that and they will like have this vendetta going, even if it's a mental one, against a person, a place, an employer, whatever it is. You know, if you do not sit down and do that mental work of kind of really mentally going through the whole situation and seeing where you could have made different decisions, I could have said this, I could have chosen that. And along that line, I'm really adamant about this too. Like we all have choices in life and a lot of times the choices are horrible. Sometimes I'll tell somebody, well, you could do this. They're like, but I don't want to do that, but it's still a choice. It's scary to do that. Yep. But it's still a choice. And so I think that part of the forgiveness process is seeing where you had those choices, those little forks in the road, and you chose right and you could have gone left. And just seeing it, it's not about blaming yourself further. That's the last thing you want to do. It's not about blame. It's about learning yourself, seeing yourself, becoming a better person all the time, a wiser person, a more alert person. And I think forgiveness is a part of that. If you don't let go of the incident itself or the situation itself, you're doomed to relive it over and over and over, whether it's in your mind or in your life.
And I was really, I had my eyes open to that when I started getting into energy healing, because I had not realized at that point in my life about the toll that it takes on your organs. Somebody showed me something once, but you did do a post the other day about Louise Hayes's book. And I think it's a wonderful, wonderful book. I had it right on my desk there when you posted it. And I was like, wow, it's like, that was written so long ago, but I had not had knowledge of it, right? So when I came across it, I was like, oh my gosh, it makes so much sense that the disease that we create in our bodies from that energy that's sitting there, the anger, you know, the pain, the suffering, and how it affects our everyday lifestyle, our wellness. And when you start to do that process of forgiveness and whatever it is around the anger, pain, resentment, it's different for everybody. You start to feel better and you start to have a new outlook, not only on how you're feeling internally, but how your outside world begins to look now, because you're not seeing it from that perspective of the victim, right? You're seeing it from a new perspective of being empowered. And now I'm going to make, because honestly, we did all come here to learn, grow, and evolve, right?
Yes. Every one of us.
So our soul is always striving to do that. And sometimes we do learn a lot through the most horrific experiences. And I think when you can get to that point, I know for me about the death of my son, it was horrific. I'm still healing from it, but I've gotten to a place of peace. Do I cry every day? Yes. but I've forgiven myself. I've forgiven him. I've worked through that healing to understand that specific incident for me was an opportunity for me. And when you look at that, it's like, no longer am I missing you. You're here. You know what I'm saying? It's like, no longer do I cry every day. I still cry, but not every day. And so I understand that his leaving was part of our contract. And now for us, it was for me to have this opportunity to find something beautiful at the end of that darkness.
Absolutely. There's so many things that you can do. I think if you get stuck, if you start the forgiveness process, like you're doing the forgiveness prayer or something similar, and you just can't get to the place where you mean it, then another technique I like that gives you a boost on that is, I used to call it cord cutting. For decades, I call it cord cutting. But a client of mine is like, I like to think of it as cord dissolving. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And I started mulling that over. And I like that because it's more final. Like, that cord isn't just cut and existing somewhere. It's dissolved. It's completely gone. So what that's about is, there's a cord from your heart to the heart of a loved one. So let's say you were in a romantic relationship and it ended badly and you're traumatized from it. You maybe, every time you think of that person, you miss what could have been. You wonder how they're doing. If there was somebody new, you're reattaching the cord from your heart to theirs. They might be doing the same thing, but as long as that's attached, you can't really heal fully and you can't have a new love come into your life. So this is something I talk about a lot, is like the importance of doing that. And sometimes people will say, oh, I tried that once. It didn't work. I'm like, once? Hey, the last time I needed to use it, I was doing it 20, 25 times a day for a while. And then it would taper off until eventually there comes a time when you think, I don't think I've done that for a week or so. So you start healing and it's happening. And it's because you're free of the emotional attachment dragging at you and continuing to put them in your thoughts, in your heart. So I do have a document for that I send to clients, but I'm sure there's other places online you can find that as well. Cord dissolving.
I learned that in theta healing, in fact, and I too was also surprised, because at that point I had only known about cord cutting, but dissolving it was so powerful, right? It was really like, wow, it was like I envisioned almost like the welding, and you're welding back the soldering, and it's dissolving and dissolving and dissolving until it's gone, and so powerful. That's a great, great, great option for a tool.
I didn't know that was part of theta. That's so interesting.
There's a part in the, I think it was theta 2 where I learned it. It was about dissolving past relationships, because those cords do exist, as you said, and we hold on to them. The point is, we hold on to them, and you don't know what the other person is doing. So they could be coming from the other person to you. But if you're holding on to them specifically, you definitely want to cut those cords and work on that area and see where do you feel that in your body?
And if you were in a relationship with a narcissist, even if they have moved on and they're with their next victim, they may still be reattaching that cord, because they like to string people along in case they need to use them later, in case their supply dries up and they need a quick fix from you. And I'm not talking about drugs. You are the drug, honey. You know, it's like, so that's another good reason to keep dissolving that cord, to be sure that the narcissist isn't reattaching to you intentionally. Mm-hmm. It's not an accident on their part. It's just a way to string you along. And nobody wants to be strung along. That doesn't feel good.
Not at all. Narcissists, we should do a show about narcissism.
That's oh, all. We really do need to. We do. I think I have a PhD in narcissists and sociopaths. I don't want it, but I have it. Oh, goodness. And that's why a lot of times when we're talking about like forgiveness and emotional pain, so we deal with a lot of women. Women will reach out for help of all kinds, counseling, spiritual help, much more than men will. I wish, you know, we are seeing more men coming in, but it's still much more females. And that's why we end up talking about the relationships, because it's inevitably, I would say 95% of the time, it's about a relationship, a love relationship, that has left a person feeling hurt. So if you want a new love in your life, you've got to fully let go of the old one. But that's another whole topic in and of itself. What does it feel like on the other side of forgiveness? Can you think of a situation that you feel like you've done your forgiveness work for, Terri-Ann?
Oh, absolutely. Because I've had a couple of those relationships and I've had to really work hard at forgiving. It wasn't easy, especially the last one was so, I was traumatized from it and narcissism was involved. So before I could go on to meet my current husband, I had a lot of work to do. You know, I was manipulated and I was married to a narcissist. So I had to work through all of that because I believed everything at that point that he told me. So I believed that I couldn't receive a wonderful type of man. I believed at that time I had a sick child. Nobody would want to be in a relationship with me. Those were the things I continually heard while I was in the relationship. So of course, when I left the relationship, I was like, yeah. So I was self-sabotaging my relationships. And it took me still a while to work through that and then to work through the forgiveness. And when I got to the point of forgiveness, I have to tell you, it wasn't easy work. But when I got to that point of forgiveness, I could see him through different eyes. And I think that's our goal. I'm not excusing his behavior. I can't make excuses for anything that he's done throughout our relationship, but I can go to me. And that's what we talk about, right? And how I can forgive that and what it feels like. It feels amazing. It feels freeing. I felt like I was let out of a cage.
I agree. Like for me, it literally felt like weight coming off, like just carry, like I'd been carrying this yoke, this metal heavy iron yoke. And I finally was able to take it off and set it down and just be myself again. And even my daughter, I remember the moment she started crying and she said, oh, I have my mom back again, you know, because I just wasn't myself. I was so beaten down and I knew it. I felt it. So what I noticed especially is the strength. Like there's a lot of strength in choosing to let go of the pain, to forgive the person and yourself and move on from the pain and focus on getting yourself a strong and healthy and what do I need right now? I talk about that a lot. What do I need right now? Do I need more sleep? Am I hungry? Do I need to get out in nature? Do I need to take a little break? Whatever it is, you know, focusing on what you're doing, which you probably have gotten away from, and focusing on what you want to do. What do you want to do with your life? Because now the big yoke is gone. That big ball and chain you've been dragging around is gone. And for a lot of people, that heavy ball and chain is whatever you needed to forgive, not a person, not a situation, but the forgiveness needed to be done. So I felt strong, Terri-Ann. I really have to say, like, I feel like that's when I stepped into a new level, a new core of strength, way stronger than I had before. And I was never a weak woman. So I think there's so many beautiful things on the other side of healing, and forgiveness is just healing. It's another method of healing.
Mm-hmm. And you learn, right? You want to learn from that experience so that you don't repeat that experience. Oh. The process of healing helps you to learn from that experience. So you're not again in that victimhood. You're in the place of power. So you've learned about boundaries, say, let's use that as an example. You've learned about boundaries. Now you know how to set boundaries. And so you're learning through that process so that whatever it is, a relationship, a job, you can go through that with a clear mind without being clouded with that heaviness.
Absolutely. And I know there's going to be people out there who are thinking, ah, what happened to me is unforgivable. They just don't know how bad it was. I think we do. I know Terri-Ann's story and she knows a good deal of mine. I've had a lot of sexual abuse in childhood and some in adulthood. I've been cheated on. I've been, you know, through a sociopath marriage, a long-term relationship with a very toxic narcissist. The list goes on and on. And Terri-Ann's life hasn't been any easier than that. So I think if we can forgive these things and forgive ourselves for not having the tools, the knowledge that we needed at the time that happened, so can you. You know, so give it some thought. You know, if you're afraid to do it, test the waters. Just do it for a week and see how you feel. And if you start to feel better, which I know you will, I think it's going to motivate you to want to do more of it. And I understand that fear. I understand having that rage. But even in the midst of anger, rage, you can still start this work. It'll be hard. I'm not going to lie to you. It'll be hard. But sometimes the hardest things are the things that bring you the most growth and the most healing. And we can't let fear stop us from taking the steps we need to save ourselves. That's something I like to talk about a lot, because who is going to save you more than you will save yourself?
I love that.
Who knows what you need more than what you know what you need? Who knows how much you hurt more than you know how much you hurt? Save yourself.
It's definitely time for that. We are on a path of healing. We should do a show about that, the path of the healer. Because as you said, it has not been easy. So that's why we're here to tell you that we've been through it, been through the darkness. But when you come out on the other side, it is really beautiful. And I think what you also learn from that is your experience, you were taught to help other people through it. And that to me goes to my heart. I'm getting chills from spirit. It's like that to me really speaks to me, because what do I want to do with this pain besides carry it around? I want to forgive. I want to heal. I want to learn, but I also want to share that with others. And that's what I believe that we do on our show.
That's how I know that the really painful things we go through are part of our designated path. And the reason I say that, and I know it's true for Terri Ann, it's true for our partner Roz, is that the things we've gone through, our trauma we've been through, we will draw people to us who are going through it or have gone through it and need to have a little lifeline. They need to figure out how to heal from that, how to get out of it, how to heal, how to become strong. And so it's not like I advertised for women who'd been married to narcissists and were stuck in those relationships or been in a dark night of the soul. They just started coming. They just started coming. And the same is true for Roz and her past trauma, Terri Ann and her past trauma, including the death of Anthony. Mm-hmm. Like that is a hard thing to think about. But knowing Anthony, like how incredibly powerful he is on the other side, that is a high level being there, because he comes through to you for dream visitation every single month, and talks to you so clearly. So I feel like that guy wasn't supposed to be in the human form very long. It must have been hard for him to be in human form. But the point is, now you've got all these women who've lost their children at varying ages, who are drawn to you because you know that pain. You can help them.
That makes sense. And when it first happened, I have to honestly tell you, I don't think I've known anybody that, you know, lost a child other than maybe like a miscarriage here and there. I knew nobody that had lost a child. So for me, I felt very alone in that space because people did not understand. And they try to be, you know, helpful and everything, but they didn't. So I drew the women to me that had my experiences. I mean, I started seeing people that lost little children, older children. And it was just amazing to me because you create that. And so that's when I talk about the heart resonance, and we put this heart resonance out. And so what we draw to us is like us. And so we connect on that heart level. It actually shines. You can see it. So when you're come across somebody that has similar trauma-based stuff as you, I always feel like there's a higher power at purpose, that it had happened because you're supposed to share your experiences. You're supposed to share what you've learned from them. You're not supposed to sit in the victim mode and say, oh my God, that was horrible. Yes, I've experienced too. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. You're supposed to learn and grow and evolve from that and then share it.
It feels so good to take the traumatic situations you've been through and use that knowledge and wisdom to help somebody else heal, to give them a ray of light, to show them the way, how to get out of that, how to heal from it. I mean, it, to me, it gives great meaning to all the experiences that I suffered. And it gives me a different view of them completely, you know, very much, pretty much what Terri Ann is saying too, like just I can see the meaning behind it and God's hand there, that there's a reason we go through what we go through. But if we choose to like internalize it and hold on to the pain and the trauma, you're not helping it. You're not even helping yourself. And it's not saying that every one of you who's gone through pain, which most of us have, is supposed to do something with it professionally. But what about personally? What about healing yourself so that if you come across somebody who's going through pain like that, be a friend to them, you know, be a mentor to them, help them out. You don't need to change careers to do that. You know, I still do that in my personal life as well. I mean, I help a lot of people who are never been my clients because they come across my personal life. You know, they come into my life for a reason. And I take that as an opportunity to pass on that knowledge, to pass on the healing. That's a good way that we can shift the energy of the world the way it is right now. It doesn't have to be all low frequency vibration, you know, permeating the whole planet. There's a lot of light there too. And I know that there's a lot of people who are either not on the spiritual path or they're not very far on it and they're just not ready to heal. And they probably have turned off this episode by now, or frankly, they wouldn't even be moved to watch it or listen to it. And that's okay, because nothing is for everybody. So the people who are meant to hear this and see this, they're hearing it, they're seeing it, they're getting the message. And hopefully, even if you don't go right out and start working on your forgiveness, you're at least embracing the thought and mulling it over and thinking about what we said about what's waiting for you on the other side of that healing.
The beauty.
Yeah, I want to see the joy in life. I want to see the love. I want to see the goodness. I'm not ignorant or blind to the negative, but I'm not going to pretend there's not wonderful people and a lot of love and a lot of desire to help others across the board in most of the people on the planet. I know that. I believe it with all my heart. And this is just about starting with yourself. You know, if you don't heal yourself, you really can't help other people very much either. So if you want to be a whole person, if you want to see how strong you can get, if you want to feel happier and lighter, forgiveness is for you. And the ways that we're talking about are by far not the only ways you can do this. You know, look online. If none of this really resonates for you, that's okay. Look online, go see a counselor, see what they recommend, but you can look online too for healing, forgiveness methods. And there's a lot out there. I just went with the things that really resonated for me and that the angels came in and said, yes, you know, as they tend to do.
You're on the right path. Mm-hmm. I love it. I think it's so necessary. I really am a proponent for healing. I think it brings you just to a whole other side of seeing things, that higher perspective of thinking that we talk about, because who wants to carry that around? It does not feel good.
I don't. I think it's very hard to grow as a person. It's very hard to become who you were meant to be and to fulfill your life purpose and or purposes, because I think that for most people I have more than one. If you don't heal yourself from the earthly human trauma you endure, but that's not who you are. That's just something that happened to your earthly shell. You know, and it doesn't have to color the rest of your life, no matter what it is. It doesn't have to color it. It doesn't define you. And if it does, then I know you haven't started doing some serious forgiveness work.
And what you focus on exists, right? So as you said, if there's negative stuff, you're always watching, you're always around, that's what you're going to be focusing on. And when you, again, we don't believe that it doesn't exist. We're not saying that it doesn't exist. But when you focus on the other side of it, the beauty that can come out of it, per se, or the light that we have, the connection that we all have. When you focus on those things, you create the momentum for them to grow bigger and bigger, and you see the world through new eyes.
And if you are working towards your life purpose and you're working on your frequency, we talk about that a lot, raising your frequency so that you can get more guidance from your angels, so that you catch the signs and the angel numbers and the symbols and the guidance that comes in so many different forms. This is a great way to raise your frequency quickly So forgiveness, you know, you're letting go of low frequency emotions and thoughts and energy, and you're allowing your body to be filled up with high frequency energy. So I think that's another really important reason that even if you're reluctant to do it, if your frequency is important to you, then forgiveness work is important.
And we've talked about frequency so much, and it's in my book. I have in my book, The Map of Consciousness from David Hawkins, who has been around, he was around forever, but he talks about those lower level frequencies, grief, anger, sorrow, pain, suffering, shame, guilt. They're all lower level frequencies. And so as you work on yourself and you raise your frequency, love, joy, peace, connection, you're raising your frequency and you attract different instances into your life. So I think that right there is enough for me to do it.
Yeah. Because, you know, as somebody pointed out to me recently, and I think it's hilarious that it was like a aha moment to me. They're like, for you, it's really important that you pay attention to your frequency all the time. And like, I know that, but for some reason, hearing it from this person just helped me like be extra vigilant about it. And I have been, and I think that it's so critical, and not just because we do spiritual work, but because we're spiritual people, because, you know, the work we do is important and we love it, we're passionate about it, but our personal spiritual journey is why we're here too, you know, to be better people, to learn our lessons, to drop cycles we've had, to be wiser, to tap into the wisdom that we carry in our higher selves, all of these things that we're here to do. And if we don't clear the negative energy with the low frequency energy, we can never achieve that. We can't accomplish what we came here to do. And that is very important to me. That is really important to me.
Absolutely. Great point.
Do you have your book there, Terri-Ann?
I do not.
I know you have yours. I'm going to hold mine up. Terri-Ann, tell the name of yours again, your book.
From Death to Life, The Incredible True Story of Anthony Joseph by Terri-Ann Russell, and you can find it on Amazon.
Mine is Let Your Angels Lead. I'm going to hold it up over my face. You can see it also on Amazon. So the Sedona Soul Sisters has some books out. Some of the things we talked about today are in those books. You might find that helpful. And we're so glad that you joined us today. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. No matter how you're joining in, we appreciate it. And I appreciate all of the wonderful requests and suggestions and comments we've been getting. Thank you so much. You've been watching the Sedona Soul Sisters Show. If you'd like more information about us or our services, visit our website, SedonaSoulSisters.com. Tune in next week when our topic is integrating your higher self with your human self. We've never talked about this. I'm really anxious for this topic. I think it's going to be really fun.
Me too.
In the meantime, we hope you have an enlightening week. Thank you for listening to the Sedona Soul Sisters Show. If you'd like more information about the Sedona Soul Sisters and their services, visit their website at SedonaSoulSisters.com. Subscribe to our show here so you don't miss a thing. All of us at Sedona Soul Sisters hope you have an enlightening week.